Welcome back to another episode of Vanguard Canada. I'm your host, J. Richard Jones. On our series, we're regularly developing content and delving into podcasts around cybersecurity. No news there. I mean, it's one of the hottest topics, and it's something that we need to be very much aware of after this terrible experience with COVID and some of the cyber gaps that have come about. As we delve into it a little more, we're getting into issues related to cameras and videos. These days, it's not uncommon for a company to have a security audit, which is not just about computers. It's not just about zero trust and remote access anymore. It can be about the actual physical, the cameras, the machines, the wireless and Wi-Fi, how they interact together, and how data is communicated. For today's show, I really want to dig down into the need for body-worn cameras. We're going to talk about it. It's a big, big topic, obviously, in defense and law enforcement. You just need to take a look at what went on in 2020 with some of the violence, some of the protests, some of the attacks. You know, it used to be in business, you can't manage what you can't measure. Well, now if you're in business, you can't prove what you can't record. There's some challenges to all of this, and you know, body-worn cameras can actually act as an unbiased witness to an incident. They can actually be a deterrent as well for unwarranted and unwanted behavior, and they're also great training tools. But there is a responsibility, there is a process, and there are implications to having body-worn cameras as well. And there's often the question of, do they really make a difference? So today, I'm very pleased to have a special guest. His name is John Merlino. He is the Segment Development Manager for Government with Access Communications. And we're going to talk a little bit more about body-worn cameras. If you're not aware of Access, they're a company that offer intelligent security solutions that enable a smarter and safer world. They are the innovators in this area, and we're going to talk a little bit about how you can actually unlock the potential of a camera. I mean, they're completely working on an outsourced platform, so there's a lot that you can do with them. In this case, we're in the right place today for this topic and in good hands with Access, because they are a leader in network video. They're really driving the industry by continually launching innovative network products, again, based on an open platform system. This enables them to really deliver high value to customers through a global network. So our guest, John Merlino, a little bit of background to kind of set this up for you. John serves as the chief liaison for local, state, and federal government programs for Access. He helps partners and customers at all levels of the network video surveillance sales cycle to really understand and interpret government security strategies, the objectives, the policies, and the regulations. Prior to joining Access in 2011, John spent more than two decades of active military service in the United States Navy, as well as years of experience in sales and business development for industry-leading software and security companies, where he's consistently achieved recognition for outstanding performance. John, welcome to Vanguard Radio.
Thanks, John. Appreciate you having me, and glad to be here.
Yeah, well, I guess to begin with, I mean, this year, after the year we had last year, we're really seeing a greater call for accountability with law enforcement by the public. We're seeing a lot of the same trends within military and defense departments. They're calling for more use of body-worn camera technology. Is this a big shift in your view?
Well, I think, you know, the events of this year have changed the perspective for a lot of my customers. That normally would take much longer in the decision process to, you know, research different technologies and the implementation of different technologies. The I guess the expediency of events, especially the events in the U.S., has changed that perspective, and I see them leaning forward more now in terms of adoption of new technologies. And that's actually what, you know, what Access has provided with our body worn solution. Unlike some of the legacy products that you've seen maybe over the years, or you might be familiar with, you had mentioned we're an open source platform, and that's really where Access has been extremely successful. We give anybody the ability to ingest our video. And at the edge, we give our customers the opportunity to do analytics that are only limited really by their imagination. In terms of this conversation, I would say law enforcement is definitely, you know, driving out much more on the use of body-worn technology, mainly because it gives them some top cover. And for their officers, because what you're seeing is that, you know, there's two sides to the story, and the documentation that's being provided through the use of a body worn camera protects the officer as much as the citizen. And so in the DOD, we're probably going to talk about different uses of the technology, more so from a training or documentation perspective than a law enforcement perspective. We do have security forces. I am speaking to them about the use of body-worn technology, but I think the really cool angle for body-worn technology in the DOD or the military is going to be for use of training.
I'd be curious to ask you, John, for some of these hot spots where these elite forces have worked and used the video cameras, do you get feedback that helps you to further improve your product after it's being tested in those circumstances?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you got to remember, John, we're what's considered to be a commercial off-the-shelf product, or what we call a COTS platform in the U.S., right? What a lot of the special forces teams are using in the field are very sophisticated and highly developed technologies that are far surpass the capabilities of what a commercial product would do. But we're giving our cameras to these guys to use, and we're putting it through the paces in a training environment. And then, yes, of course, they're telling us, hey, you know, right now the video can only be held on the camera, and then we have to download it. When are you going to be able to actually live transmit? And what are the capabilities that we might see from that? What are the distance limitations that we might see? I mean, you know, without going too far into probably things that may be classified, if you think about, you know, an operator working overseas and having that video conveyed back to an operations room somewhere, that's pretty sophisticated. Mm-hmm. What we're looking to see is, as I kind of touched upon, the use of the gear in localized training, you know, can it withstand the environment? And we put a lot of effort into hardening the product, believe it or not, from a physical standpoint. And there's mil-spec ratings that we meet. And then also other security, you know, layers on the product. You had opened the segment today with a discussion about, you know, cybersecurity. Access has never made an analog product. So I like to say we don't have a fallback plan. If somebody were able to actually, you know, disrupt or, you know, maybe, you know, hack our product, that could be very bad for our brand. So we put a lot of effort into hardening the camera, and then what we call the accountability stream that allows you to ensure that, you know, the operator and the person that's actually the administrator are the only people that have continuity of that video. If the video gets leaked somewhere and it shows up on the news, it would be very easy for us to help any party determine where that break in continuity was.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. So your product has to be a high quality product. There has to be standards, and there has to be a policy or process, which really leads nicely into my next question. I mean, the public is really pushing for accountability in the use of different types of cameras. There are questions, there are concerns about how this technology is being used. What do you think those concerns are, and how can departments act in a responsible way that builds that trust and addresses the concerns that the public have while still using this vital tool.
Yeah, I think maybe I talked around it a little bit, and it has to do with, you know, what I call the chain of custody, John. You know, the integration of the body-worn camera into other systems that are open, and then the proper handling of that video. We're, you know, promoting the use of what we call logical and physical access to protect, you know, the integrity of that chain of custody. I think that's a big thing. You know, there's a term for, you know, people behaving, you know, better. I think it's called the Hawthorne effect, where if somebody thinks their you know, behaviors are being observed, they tend to act and behave accordingly. So what we're seeing, you know, from the law enforcement end, is that actually when police departments are deploying the technology, the conversation between, you know, police officers and the public is improving a bit, believe it or not. But we still have to make sure that when that isn't the case, the integrity of the video is maintained. And you know, that's the difficult conversation. Obviously there's, you know, privacy concerns. That's a big thing for the military. Anytime we talk about, you know, recording individuals, whether it's video or audio, and Access does make some audio products that work in conjunction with our cameras. The body-worn camera we're talking about today actually has audio and video capabilities too. You know, the privacy issues are a big concern. In the U.S., it's interesting because every jurisdiction that deploys the technology literally has different policies on the length of retention of the video and the custodial responsibilities for the video. Hopefully that answers your question a little bit.
Yeah, it does. And I'm not sure on what our policies are here in Canada, but I think it indicates that there needs to be, if there aren't, it needs to have clear privacies and policies in place and how it's used and operated, I think is what you're saying. What I get out of it also, though, is it's kind of a little bit of preventative measures in the sense that because the camera is being operated, people know, you know, that they are being watched. There's a level of accountability, and it probably gives communities a sense of confidence, provided there's trust in the operation of the camera. Is that a good way to put it?
Yeah, I think that's very well put. You know, I think both operators and those people that are, you know, on the other end of the camera, they need to feel that comfort level. We've done a lot of studies actually about the use of video technology as a safety and security tool. And believe it or not, what we found is overwhelmingly, I think the percentages are above 80%. Most people would tell you that they feel that the deployment of a camera, if it for safety and security purposes, is okay, because it makes their environment more secure.
Yeah, I think it comes down to technology and continued advancements. One thing I have heard, I haven't heard it related to cameras specifically, but more to video, is the ability to edit or create videos of people and put them into the video when they were never there in the first place. I'm sure there's a term for it. I'm just not familiar with it. Do you have any concerns in that area? Has that been something that you guys have seen or had come across your deck?
You know, that's a great question, and very recently that has been something that people have been concerned about. And you know, can you imagine if somebody were able to do something like spoofing you know, weapons in a crowd or other things like that when they really weren't present? So And the answer to your question is we are very concerned about it. We are building tools in our technology, uniquely, in fact, Axis is doing this to prevent spoofing. Or the integrity of the video, where there, it gets kind of technical, but it has to do with kind of like watermarking images, and ensuring that that nothing has actually been inserted that really wasn't there.
Yeah, well, that makes total sense. I mean, the one thing about COVID, terrible as it was, I think it's created a mass thirst for improved technology. And that can be a good thing, but on the flip side, it can also be used against you. So it's good that you guys are aware of that and are ahead of the curve. John, we've talked a little bit about some of the advantages of body-worn technology, and you'd mentioned that it's a very powerful training tool, and I could see that as really helping the process and assisting with costs and time reduction. What are some of the other areas that you would say make this tool just such a wonderful thing to implement in areas of accountability?
Well, I mean, the thing that we like to really impart when we're talking about the use of this is documentation, the documentation that's available through the use of the technology that previously maybe people only were using still pictures for, just notes. So imagine the benefit to guys like that are fire investigators or insurance investigators that have to go on site and maybe do an arson investigation. Instead of just taking a series of still pictures, they could actually videotape as they're walking through the scene. So from my perspective calling on the public sector, we're seeing some interest from fire departments for the use of the technology. Another one that sort of ties into the training angle that maybe some people aren't familiar with is that there are instances where we purposefully, put our students under duress. And we run some schools where, the student or, an advisor or instructor relationship can be purposefully very stressful. We don't want to take it beyond that. Okay. So the use of the camera for those kinds of environments to document what is training versus hazing is something that we're seeing a tremendous interest in too. So outside of just, using it to debrief, how we move in a squad formation or, a larger, military kind of exercise, these one-on-one scenarios that involve instructors and students, and the whole topic of sexual harassment in the military, this is something that I'm definitely promoting, to the military schools that I talk to, and even beyond that, just for medical training and other different kinds of scenarios as well.
Do you know what? That's a great point. I never thought of it. And in the environment we're in now and with some of the issues, that would be a phenomenal tool. As you were just talking about that, I also realized that, if you're involved in investigating an arson or an insurance claim, when you're recording your witnesses, I mean, their body language, their statements, it's not a conviction, but it's certainly a tool that will help people to investigate further into areas, and it's something that they can play back again and again, right?
Yep.
So I could totally get that. When we're talking about this technology, one angle we haven't kind of addressed yet is how is it being adopted by the trade? And what I mean is law enforcement, defense departments. You were just talking about how it can be used to prevent hazing. How are these departments reacting to video cameras? Is it well received? Are there challenges with the implementation? What kind of star rating does it get from the people who use it?
Yeah, I mean, I think, this we're in the early adoption phase in the military for the most part, other than our security forces, right, which they get it. So like any technology that's new, you have to really kind of, you know, help them understand, you know, the concept that we're trying to present to them. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, what's really cool as an outcome, unfortunately, I guess, in a way, is that the world has become in some ways so chaotic that, you know, my government customers, which, you know, the whole public procurement scenario is very difficult sometimes, right? They're actually more receptive to the use of technologies and deploying them more. I'm talking to the operations guys now, and they're very interested.
Well, that's definitely good to hear. We've talked a little bit about the benefits of body-worn cameras, especially training, which is there's a lot of areas you went into there that I certainly wouldn't have thought about. We've touched upon cyber. I guess in daily practice, what do you think people who are wearing the cameras, officers in different industries and divisions, what can they do better to maximize the use of body-worn cameras?
Well, I mean, this is probably a little, you know, kind of self-serving on my part, but because the analogy I would use, John, is what I walked into when I started with Axis. Everybody had an analog camera, and they said, why do we need a network-based camera? We've got these analog cameras; they're doing fine. And yes, that was true, but when you unlock the capabilities of the technology, it really helps you to understand that it can do much more than what typically, you know, others have marketed it for. Because, you know, the people that have been in this space for a long time, my competitors, they're marketing it for just, you know, basically one use, which is law enforcement. So I like to, you know, challenge people to say, you know, what are you doing right now to debrief off of training? What are you doing to prevent, you know, harassment, or, you know, whether it's sexual or other harassment in your environment when you have students and advisors or instructors interacting? And that's really kind of opening their eyes and their minds to, you know, what we can do. In addition to that, because we're an open platform, they may actually already have the software on base that could ingest the cameras. So I don't have to sell them a whole solution in addition to the camera. They can plug it into what they already have today. And that's very different from most of what is out there that is proprietary in the space. So I guess in summary, I would say, you know, we're offering a non-proprietary technology that is easily deployed in their environment and has way more use cases than just for law enforcement.
You know, I can really see that, because if it can be applied to current software, then it means it's easy to use, the costs are lower, the training is lower, and it offers a lot of flexibility for different areas. So that's really interesting. You're listening to Vanguard Radio, and our guest today has been John Marilino. He is Segment Development Manager for Government with Access Communications. John, thanks so much for coming on our show.
John, thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Certainly. And for our listenership and readership, there will be some links attached to the show notes if you want to learn more about Access.